Well, it is great to be with y'all this afternoon, and I do appreciate you, such a nice group sticking around until close to 5 o'clock. I have provided you with a lot of information in my PowerPoints, more information than I can possibly talk about for 30 minutes. So I'll leave it to you to look at the part that I don't specifically discuss, because what I want to make sure and do is the highlights, brief summaries, and to give you some tidbits and recommendations from me as a former regulator. I, as Brian said, I've known him for many, many years. I spent about the first 20 years of my career working in financial institutions on the private sector, and then the last 13, I was working for the Texas Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, regulating state savings banks and the mortgage industry. I was general counsel for the first 7 years and then commissioner the last seven. So I bring all of that to you today. So I'm going to talk about these issues that I just feel like are important enough to bring up at this point. This is not an official Polonsky Bottle Green list. It's not a list that I got official from a state or federal regulator, but I do think these are worth talking about. And I do want to mention the reason Polonsky Bottle Green, when I retired from the state, I'm now special counsel with the mortgage law firm of Polonsky Bottle Green. So let's jump in to and start with fair lending. Oops, that's not right. That's right. Okay, with fair lending. Fair lending is often a bone of contention between regulators and the industry for pretty obvious reasons. It's major when you get a fair lending violation. You might end up with the DOJ. Penalties are huge, but they are being scrutinized more now than you know, we go in and out of various issues as regulators, and fair lending is right now being scrutinized quite heavily. That is not working. Oh, okay, very good. So, fair lending, redlining. It's not exactly working. We know that fair lending is important right now to the regulators, partially, I'll get to this case in a moment, partially because the CFPB's 2022 annual report to Congress specifically mentions redlining and fair lending. In 2021, Merrick Garland established a combating redlining initiative that is still being used today in redlining cases. And we have recent cases that are about redlining and have very consent orders that I would recommend you look through if this is part of your practice, because they will give you some idea of what exactly are the regulators looking at, what are they telling the industry through these consent orders, are there hot spots at the moment. I don't know why this isn't working. So I'm going to mention a few cases. Again, high level. Starting with Trustmark. Trustmark is a traditional redlining case against a bank on CRA and HMDA data. Difference, though, that we see in it is what we are accustomed to seeing is redlining with regard to individual borrowers. In Trustmark, the regulators are talking about redlining a particular neighborhood. And we have seen that in Texas in at least one case. So discrimination against a neighborhood as opposed to discrimination against a particular borrower. This case has to do with Memphis, but as I said, we have seen this being brought up in Texas as well. With regard to the consent order, high penalties, $5 million, $3.85 million to be in loan subsidy program. The part of this I want to mention specifically is the training in fair lending. Because I told you I was going to skip through some of this. The consent order requires training in fair lending and revising, updating and updating fair lending policies. Anytime you see an order that talks about training or updating policies for one defendant, go ahead and look at that as something that's going to be brought up anytime. And I really encourage you to work with your clients in looking at this consent order and others and seeing, okay, what did they say in this case and what are we doing that may or may not have bring us similar issues.